Let's stand. Thank you, Aaron. Hang on, sit down again a second. Sit down again a second. It would help if you could see the words, wouldn't it? If you see how quick you'd have to write. You say that, but it's... Michelle's looking serious, everybody. Go. There we go. Right, you can stand up again now. Go on. technology wonderful? Oh, bless your father. Bless your father. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, we worship you, O God. You're worthy of all the praise. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, Lord God. And even as these hymns fan the flames of revival past me, the flames of revival hit this place tonight. Be deep in our hearts tonight, we pray. Amen. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall.
Samana. We give you the glory, Lord. We give you the praise and the honor. We give you the highest place in our lives. Kamashiki la kabaranda. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Chikabashiki yanda. Thank you, Lord.
This goes like this.
We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
Everybody sing it.
We will remember.
give someone a hug and say, I'm glad you're here this morning. Not someone you've already spoken to. Go on, that means you've got to move out your seats. Give them a hug and say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Kabashiki Ramakuyanda. I'm glad to see you. Hallelujah. Shikabarashianda. Thank you, Lord. All right. Back to your seats. 2 minutes. That's all you're going to get this morning. Back to your seats. You rowdy lot. All right. You're the civilized ones. The rest of you sit down and shut up. Didn't make any difference, did it? It's the ones right at the back that are the worst. It's the sound guy that's the worst. It's the sound guy that's the worst. Right, sit down. Do you know my mum and dad always used to do things straight away? They're called the immediate family. And did you hear a blackbird opened a coffee shop? It was Nest Cafe. No. Moving on. I found something the other day, right? You've got to hear this. I found something the other day that was worth its weight in gold. It's called gold. And then I met this young lady. And she was an anaesthetist. She was a local girl. But in the truth was, she was a real knockout. I can't think of any more jokes. There must be some in the ether. Right, stop it now. Behave. Warm Hub this week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Let me just say thank you again and again and again for all the people who come and help at the Warm Hub or help at Food Bank. It's an incredible amount of work we're doing. And the things that are going on, the people that are coming in, just be excited. We had a situation this Friday. Rosie, we thought Rosie had gone away and we'd have some peace and quiet, didn't we? And I hope this comes out on the tape. She phoned me Friday morning. She said, God woke me up in the middle of the night. You've got to ask a certain lady. There's something not right. Well, thanks, Rosie. So the lady comes in and says, I want a word with you. I said, I've been told by Rosie something's not right. And she starts crying. Because there's major problems at home. And she starts to share stuff. And you think, that's what we're here for, isn't it? That's exciting, isn't it? And we think these conversations and the jokes we tell, what have you, people are being impacted and are talking about Jesus even out there. Hey, get excited a little bit, you know. I don't expect you to jump up and down on your chairs, but a little, you know, would be good. So, Warm Hub, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 9 till 1 o'clock. Do pray for it. If you can come in any day, even if you just want to pop in for a coffee, you never know who you're going to find. We had a couple of people come in this week. Never seen them before. One's moved into the area, has mental health problems. Didn't know we were here. And just came and sat and talked and shared. Exciting. Mm. That was a bit better. Keep rattling that. It sounds like people are clapping. I like it. Don't forget the prayer meeting tomorrow afternoon between 2 and 4 here in the church. If you can make it, please do. We need to make sure that everything we do is underpinned by prayer. And we need to make sure we're hearing God's voice. It's easy to say this is what we're going to do and that's what we're going to do. We want to know what He wants to do and be moving always in His will. So that's that. Life Group Wednesday is here at 7 o'clock. If you can't make the evening, Thursday at 2 o'clock at Maggie and Jeff's. Is that correct? Yep, good. Do pray about food bank. This week we were slightly down in numbers. We only had 37 clients. But all were big families. So they gave over a ton of food on Friday. It's a lot of food. You know, there's people out there that are just desperate. And a man came to see us. And he said, I've now been given a little bit extra from the council. I don't want to take food that others might need, so I'm making do with the money. I think that's sad. Anyway, do pray about food bank. Next Saturday, you're all going to be here, aren't you? 10 o'clock, and you've all told Tammy or Chris you're coming, haven't you? I'm not getting many yeses. I'll start that again.
Yes.
Good. Next Saturday morning, we're having a breakfast. We're going to give you a free breakfast for Sierra Leone. Afterwards, we're going to ask you to make contributions. So you come in, you eat as much as you can, then we tie you down until we get your money. Seriously, we're going to do a presentation about what's going on at Sierra Leone so you can see. We've got a couple of videos that we're going to watch just to show what we're helping with and why we're doing it and so on. So please do come if you can. We said 10 o'clock kickoff, didn't we? Give your names to Tammy or Chris just so we know how much bacon and stuff to get. All right? If you bring in neighbours, friends, people you're dragging off the streets, let us know so we just make sure we've got enough food. Because you know if Graham comes, that'll be the end of it. Also, some of you may have seen the New Heart magazines over there somewhere. If you take the Heart newspaper, it's a good idea actually. Take it home, read it, and then give it to someone else. So they're over there. All right? Whew. If you've got a Bible and you want to follow the reading, it's in the Gospel of Luke. And I know some of you are going to find this difficult, but we've actually come out of Luke chapter 5. I didn't intend to stay in Luke, but anyway. Luke chapter 6. You're getting excited now, aren't you? Luke chapter 6. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." And then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." You can think about that. We're going to take communion. I don't think we fully grasp always what communion was about. Sometimes we make it a very religious act, and it never was. It was a meal. And before the meal started, Jesus would break the bread, or whoever was the visitor, the guest, would break the bread and give it to everybody. And we say, well, we were talking about this coming in this morning, and some people say, well, before you take communion, you've got to consider everything. But Jesus even gave the bread and wine to Judas. And it's not about being perfect. It's about reminding yourself that Jesus gave his body to die for us, because he thought we were worth it. And so often we forget that Jesus came from heaven to live as a baby, to grow, to show us how to live and then to die because he loved us so much. And often we look at the cross, and it says that for a large period of time while Jesus was on the cross, there was a darkness that came down. You read that? It's the same wording as when the cloud or the darkness filled the tabernacle when the presence of God came down. And all the time that Jesus was on the cross and the darkness was there, God was saying to him, I love you. I'm so proud of you. And then there came the moment when God left. He had to turn away from sin. And immediately Jesus cries out, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Because he'd never known separation from God. And then God said, it's enough. And Jesus said, it is finished. And the last miracle Jesus did was he tore the curtain of the temple open. If you like, he put a big banner up and said, you are now free to come into the presence of God. No longer do you have to wait outside and wait for the priest. You can now come and touch God. Isn't that wow? And so when we eat the bread, we are reminding ourselves, Jesus loved me that much. So what I want us to do, I want you to listen to a song. The words aren't going to come up, so you have to use your ears. It's a song, you probably all know it very well. But the song just says, what kind of love is this? Thank you, Graham.
What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? I am the guilty one, and I go free. What kind of love is this? A love I've never known. I didn't even know his name. What kind of love is this? What kind of man is this that died in agony? He who had done no wrong was crucified for me. What kind of man is this who laid aside his throne, that I may know the love of God? What kind of man is this? No ear has
The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." John, Sanjay, would you help to serve the communion, please? Thank you. You go that way. Thank you. The bread is the reminder of the body of Jesus that was given as a full and total sacrifice, that our sins could be forgiven and we could be free to know Father. Eat in remembrance of him to remind yourself. Kiba shalikia makaranda. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship God. Let's give him our praise. Give him our adoration.
Thank you for the love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me.
the glory. We give you the honor. We come into your presence, Father, because we love you.
Before all men, I shall, my God, my King, I call by name. Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, my God of love, redeeming life. To you I gave my heart, my soul. Now break my will and take control. And I may serve my God, my King.
Shikabashikiana.
You are home.
because he was trying to give them an understanding that not only are our sins forgiven, but our sins and the mark of our sins is washed away. You know, sometimes we come to a service like this and God is moving and we say, oh, it's not for me, I'm not good enough, or I've that's the enemy trying to distract us. So Jesus says, drink the wine to remind yourself not only you're forgiven, but the mark, the stain has been washed away. I am a new creation. I can come and touch his throne and be in his presence, because even the stain of the sin has been washed away. So we're going to take and drink and remind ourselves, I am totally free because of Jesus. Amen. I wonder, John and Sanjay, would you help me again? Would you mind? Thank you. Yes, Robin. Take the cup and drink when you're ready, reminding yourself you are forgiven. You are free from the stain, the mark, the damage of sin. You are a new creation. Thank you, Jesus. Drink when you are ready. This is a moment between you and God. It's a declaration over yourself. My sins have been washed away. No stain, no guilt, no shame. That only comes from the devil. Guilt and shame only come from the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kari Shila Makari Akala Bakara. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Oh Lord my God, when I also wonder, consider all the works I have made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy God who my soul, my Savior.
Shekinah. Thank you, Father. Amen. Please take your seats.
Thank you, Lord, for being with her and bringing her here.
Amen. It's good hearing it. We read earlier this passage about the disciples and Jesus walking through a cornfield on a Sunday, on the Sabbath. And the disciples are taking corn and rubbing to get the husks off, and they're eating it. And you have to start by understanding that in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, it teaches you're allowed to do that. Even if you're a landowner, you have to let people, if you've got vineyards or cereal crops, things like that, you have to let people come and take what they need. You're not allowed to take a bowl with you to fill up a great pot, and you're not allowed to take a knife to cut lots down, but you can come and take a little bit. It's part of caring for one another. Perhaps if we learnt a little bit more of that, then we'll behave. However, Pharisees didn't like it. Because they had forgotten respect, and they've made it law. See, the Ten Commandments are all about respect. Respect God, respect one another. And our world today is in such a mess because we've forgotten respect. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. And our world is all about me. It's never anyone else's fault. Never someone's fault. It's always someone else's, isn't it? Lack of respect. Nobody ever puts a hand up and says, actually, my bad. Had it the other day. I was on a roundabout, and this car came across, and I blew my horn. Now, normally, he'd go, sorry. No, he gave me the finger. And ran down his window and proceeded to give me a whole load of verbal abuse. So I was very kind, I blew him a kiss. But our world has no respect. You know, the old man that's struggling to cross the road, people blow their horn and get a move on, you're in my way, I want to get on. And so much of what's in the Bible is about respecting other people. But the Pharisees had taken respect and made it into a law. And the law had become so ludicrous. On the Sabbath, for example, if you had a donkey and the donkey fell down a well, you couldn't get the donkey out the well because that would be work. So you had to leave the donkey till the next day. You weren't allowed to cook on the Sabbath. So you'd cook the day before. I mean, it made it so difficult. And then these blessed disciples go and take a bit of corn and start eating it. And they immediately, up with this, we shall not put. Jesus, rebuke them, condemn them, curse them, burn them in hell. They doth eat on the Sabbath. See, what they're doing is they're trying to take respect and make it an obligation. And Jesus says, trouble is, old son, the Son of Man, the Son of God is in charge of the Sabbath. I can do what I like. I'm putting it in my language, is that alright? And then they get angry. Because a bit later on, we didn't read it, a bit later on, on the Sabbath, Jesus heals somebody who's got a withered arm. And they complained. And he said, is it better to heal someone or curse them on the Sabbath? Oof, they didn't like that. And it says they went away and plotted how they could get rid of him. See, the Sabbath, we've made it into something it never was. And we used the Sabbath for years to pass judgment. I remember when I was a little boy, if you saw someone shopping on the Sunday, they were almost burning in hell already. Were they not? How could you do that? On a Sunday? I know people who've told me they used to hate Sunday because you weren't allowed to go out and play. You weren't allowed to do anything indoors. It was just 24 hours of dull. But it's the Sabbath. And it doesn't say that. It says keep the Sabbath holy. And holy means different or other than. So when we talk about God being holy, God is other than. We react, you hit me, I'll hit you. God is holy, he's other than, he says turn the other cheek. I say, I can't forget what you did. God says, no, give forgiveness. Other than, holy. And on the seventh day, it doesn't say that God sat down. It just says he rested. And psychologically, we need a rest, don't we? If you find someone who works on day, eventually they have a breakdown. It doesn't mean we have to become this super spiritual weirdo. The Bible doesn't say that. It just says be holy, be other than the rest of the week. Set time aside to rest, to renew, to refresh, to meet with God if you choose. But set aside a time to recover. They'd made it a law. You shouldn't be doing that. It's a Sabbath. Don't bite your fingernails. It's a Sabbath. Don't push your hair like that because you're not meant to do that. It's Sabbath. That's work. And it's become this big pressure. The trouble is the church should do the same today. We start saying things like, shouldn't do that if you're a Christian. Shouldn't behave like that. Shouldn't do that. And we use the law to squash people. To try and fit them into our mould. Does anyone remember, by the way, years ago, that guy on Huey Green? Do you remember this Huey, what was the programme? Opportunity Knocks, well done. Do you remember that guy that got into a little bottle? And he sort of went in and dislocated all his bones and he got inside this bottle. Sometimes that's what we try and do with other Christians. We try and fit them into our bottle. We don't want you except to fit our way. And what happens is we pass judgment on people. Shouldn't do that. Thought you were Christian. Thought you were Christian. And churches go to extremes. Some churches you have to wear hats. Other churches you must go wear your suit. But what we're doing is we're putting the law onto people. And the law always brings death. Because when I start to put the law onto people, you can't keep it all. How many people have broken the law this morning? Most of you. If you've driven in a car, I'll guarantee you didn't always stick below the limit. Just nudged over by 1 mile. Whoop. Anybody? Oh, we don't think about it, do we? We broke the law. Now what if God behaved like the Pharisees and the moment your dial went to 31, blew your car up? But that's what the law does. You imagine if every time you broke the law by 1 mile an hour, you were put in the stocks and people would throw rotten vegetables at you and everyone would laugh at you. That's what the law does. But God doesn't say that. He says grace and mercy and respect. And so right here you've got the conflict that was to go on throughout the whole gospel. You've got the Pharisees saying, the law says, and Jesus saying, but grace says. And do you remember it comes to that culmination when they dragged that woman to Jesus that's been caught in adultery? Remember it? And they said, the law says, stone her. You say, forgive her. Now, it's a trap. Whatever he says, he's going to get in trouble here, isn't he? So what does Jesus do? He writes in the sand. And he says, let the person that's without sin cast the first stone. Carries on writing, looks up and they've all gone. Judgment is not our place. There's only one judge, according to my understanding. Anyone else read that? And my understanding is God is the only judge. Anyone else read that bit? And I've looked through the Bible and I can't see anywhere where God says I can join in with judging. In fact, I find a verse in the Bible that says judgment is His alone. Is that right? So who are we to pass judgment? What we've got to pass is grace and forgiveness. Grace and forgiveness. Love and mercy. And if those disciples are hungry and it's Sunday, let them have some. This is what I want to come to. Is they were hungry. I'm on a diet at the moment. I know you want to tell me I don't need it, that I have the body of a racing snake, which I do. It's just a racing snake that's eaten a gazelle, so that's why I have a... But, you know, I'm on a diet. Now, I know at times I'm hungry. Yesterday, this silly woman, I'm standing talking to Graham, and this silly woman in the stand next to us says, would you like a scone? I haven't eaten all morning. Yeah, dribbling a bit, you know. And she says, they're going to be thrown away. Take as many as you like. I say, you temptress, you. And Graham, he's filled up like a bag full of scones. And he's hungry, enjoy them. And I'm looking at him. Opposite. It's a lady selling sausage rolls. I love sausage rolls. Oh, I want a sausage roll. But I know when I'm hungry. Anyone else? Your belly tells you you're hungry, doesn't it? The disciples are hungry. They say, we're going to have some... I'm hungry. Take some corn. How about spiritually? Anybody hungry spiritually? Anybody had enough? Because I find, now I'm on a diet, whatever I eat isn't enough. Does anybody else know this? You sit down, you eat your dinner, you go back into the kitchen, and you think, I'm still hungry. And you open the fridge, and all these things are saying, eat me, eat me. And you open the cupboard, and the biscuits are saying, I've never had enough. But spiritually, we've got to start saying, I'm hungry, God. I've not had enough. And I, spiritually, am hungry for more. Anyone else? How many people are tired of failure? Tired of seeing second best? I've had enough of this. I'm hungry for more of God. Anyone else? I want more. I go to this meeting called the filling station. Because I want more of God. I want more of His presence. I want more of His Holy Spirit. I'm hungry for God to break through more. I'm hungry. And I meet people and they say, yeah, we're having a nice time. Everything's wonderful. No, I'm hungry. I'm physically hungry and I'm spiritually hungry. And that's... You see, I'm tired of people not being healed. I'm hungry for healing in the church. I'm tired of people coming with problems and not having a prophetic word from God. And I'm giving them my best advice, or I'm giving them the best I know how, but I'm tired of not having the word of God to give them. Anyone else? We have some prophetic words, it's brilliant, but I'm tired of not having more for people. I'm tired that people sometimes come into church and they go out and nothing's changed. I'm hungry for more. See, the more we get, the more hungry we're going to get. And the more hungry we're going to get, the more of God we're going to get, the more of the Holy Spirit we're going to get, the more church is going to get crazy. See, I Ken, Rosie's husband and I, we once went to this restaurant in Canada. And it's one of those restaurants, you pay $15, eat as much as you like. And it was a buffet. And the buffet went from about here to the back of the church. And Ken and I said, bet we can eat one of everything. So you go through and you have a load and you go back to your second plate and your third plate and your fourth plate. And we got to within about this far of the end of the restaurant. And Ken says, you know what? I'm full. And I've never ever heard Ken say, I'm full, ever. But when we start to push into God and begin to be honest with God and say, I'm hungry, God says, here's a table. How much do you want? And you say, right, what do you mean? He says, you can take as much as you like. The Bible says, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Can you imagine being spiritually fat? That would be exciting, wouldn't it? Walking down the road and there's waves of the Spirit going around you because you've got silent. Of course not. We are British, Peter. We don't even cheer when it's good news. We are... I'm hungry. I'm tired of walking past and not having all that God has for me. Because each one of you has a destiny so much bigger than you realise. Somehow, I've got to break some of the outer shells and say, go play. Go find what God has for you. You see, in the old days, we relied on the minister to do everything. That's not a good idea, right? That's not. Let me tell you now, before you start with that, it's not a good idea. First service. I've done a couple of looking after other churches, but now it's my own church now. First Sunday, there's 12 people. And this little old lady sitting about where you are, Sanjay. Service going, she gives a message in tongues. That was nice. And they said to me, the minister interprets. Does he? When's he going to do that? No, you. And they're looking at me. And I'm looking at them going, And that's the way it used to be. Do you remember if we had someone sick, what we'd do is we'd say, come to church and we'd get the minister to pray for you. Oh, great. Yeah. How do you know I've got a ministry of healing? You bring someone in, here's the minister. He heals people. That's the way it used to be, isn't it? The minister was like the bus driver. Drives the bus, takes the money, and all the people just sit in rows and watch him. Not anymore. Jesus said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Everybody. And your younger can have dreams, and your older can have visions, or the other way around, it doesn't really matter. Everybody is going to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because every one of you is going to start ministering. Don't look glum, this is exciting stuff, folks. So the more hungry you are, the more of God you're going to get, the more of God you're going to get, the more you're going to see happen, and you're going to say, but I am old. Well, so was Abraham. And be careful what you say, because you think saying you're old gets out of it. Abraham said, Sarah and I are old, and God says, that's all right, you can have a baby. How many ladies here would be excited if God said to you, guess what? You may think you've had a hystericalectomy and you can't. God says, guess what? You're going to have a baby and you're going to go, how good. So don't tell me you're too old, because God doesn't listen to that. The other thing I find in the Bible is there's no retirement. There's no pension plan in Scripture. Isn't that good? If you're still here, God's got something for you to do. And it's time you began to get hungry for more of what God has for you. Stop being satisfied with starvation. Imagine, all right, I'm on a diet. And I'm having these tiddly portions and salads. Well, you imagine if I go home and there in front of me is a table, all my favourite food, and God says, eat whatever you like. And I say, actually, I'll just stick with the salad, thank you. Right. I'm hungry. You see, I'm hungry because this place has a destiny. This was built 100 and something years ago. And over the years, people have prayed into the very being of this building. And people have prayed into this structure. Even 5, 10 years ago, people were meeting here early in the morning. Not people from this church, praying into this building. Because this place is a strategic building in Shoreham. It's a strategic location. It's strategic within the Connections Group, Countess of Huntingdon. It's a strategic place. And I'm hungry to break into what God wants us to be doing. I'm hungry to break into healing people that have been hurt and damaged and wounded and lost. I'm hurt to break into those people who have given up on church because they were judged and condemned and they're now crying alone. I'm hungry to break into seeing people set free. Aren't you? I'm hungry for it. I'm hungry. God, I'm getting hungrier and hungrier and I'm getting more and more. Let me tell you something. When I used to play football, afterwards you get really thirsty. And have you ever had it where you're finishing a drink and you're already thirsty for the next one? I'm not talking alcohol, I'm just talking drink. And you're drinking it thinking, oh no, it's nearly gone and I'm still thirsty, I'm going to have another one. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Well, that's what I'm like now spiritually. We see something happen, I'm saying, great God, but I'm hungry for more. I don't just want a few bits of corn on a Sunday, I want a banquet. Because I'm tired of living on starvation rations. I'm hungry now for what God has promised me. If I read my Bible and I see what God's promised me, I'm not seeing it yet. I'm seeing more than we've seen for years, but we're not there yet, are we? Because you never get there until you stand before God. But in the meantime, Lord, I'm hungry. And I'm going to keep nagging him. I'm hungry. Second thing I noticed from this passage is they went and got the food. We are not baby birds. Let me just tell you that, all right? If you think you can sit in the nest and go, you're going to wait a long time. God says you've got to go get it. You go into his presence. You don't just sit and wait for God to come to you. He says, you come and get it. You want more of me? Come where I am. Ooh, it's a bit aggressive, Peter. Yeah, it is. Because God says, you can sit where you sit and you can stay sitting there forever. The woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, she could have stayed in her house and she'd still be bleeding today. Instead of which, she went to where Jesus was and she touched Jesus' garments and immediately she was healed. Blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the side of the road. His friends say, shut up! Don't make a disturbance! You're fine! He says, I'm not fine, I'm hungry. And he cries out to Jesus, and Jesus is walking by, and he shouts even louder, and he says, Jesus! Have pity on me! Jesus comes back and heals him. He was hungry enough to go to where Jesus was. Jairus comes to Jesus and says, my daughter's sick. Where did he go? He went to where Jesus was. We can't sit in a corner and say, well, if Jesus wants me to do anything, he knows where I am. And Jesus sits over this side and he says, if you want something from me, you come and get it. He's harsh today. He's not in a good mood, is he? I wouldn't put up with it. I'm hungry and there's resources I'm not getting. Because I don't spend enough time pushing into his presence. I can stand on the outside where it's safe, or I can push into where he's got something for me. You see, people will judge and criticize. People say, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do it that way. You don't want to listen to that. But not listening doesn't work. You see, the church has tried compromise, and we closed the churches down. Churches have tried being nice. Let's not have the Holy Spirit. It might disturb things. So let's keep it safe. And we'll drown together. Or let's dare to push into all that God has for us. But, just like the manna in the Old Testament, the law says you can take what you need for today, not for tomorrow. You want it tomorrow, you've got to come back and get it. God doesn't say come with your bucket and put enough in it for a week. God says come for enough for today. And that's because God is constantly wanting to give us more. And if we have a bucket full, do you know what will happen next? We'll start to ration it. You know, I've got this big bucket full, and we get about halfway through, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and stuff's happened, and that's been exciting, and now gradually it's going down, and instead of going back to God immediately, we start to ration it. So instead of having a full meal every day, we have half a meal every day, a quarter of a meal every day. We have just a little sprinkling. And what happens is the presence of God in our lives gets less and less and less and less. But if the preacher comes, we say, oh yeah, we've still got some, look, the bucket isn't empty. God says, I'm not calling you to that. I'm calling you to a daily relationship where daily you are coming into his presence and getting more from God. Hungry? You betcha. Can you imagine? Can you get excited? I want to have it. Okay, this is me. Can you imagine Albert and his wife? Albert's in a wheelchair, comes on Fridays, sits about here. Made a mess with his cake this week. But can you imagine next week, if you've gone into the presence of God, Albert, let's forget that. Just get out your wheelchair and sort yourself out. Would that be exciting? Or can you imagine some of the Cypriot guy with a crutch, he gets out of his car and says, leave the crutch behind. He said, well, I need it. He said, you want any more? There's Jesus. Anyone get excited by this yet? How about when one of our church members is sick and we say, let's deal with this once and for all. Let's take, anyone getting hungry yet for more of this? You see, Peter gets put in prison. I hope this isn't prophetic. Peter gets put in prison, all right? The church prays. We're not putting up with this. The church prays. The doors are open. Peter comes out. Anybody get excited? I love the fact that the servant girl didn't believe it. So Peter knocks on the door and she says, who is it? Oh, it's Peter. I think it's Peter. Open the jolly door! You see, we've got to get excited. God wants us... Excuse me. I did that because the PA guy wasn't paying attention. God wants us excited. God wants us hungry. God wants us to come and say, give me more. Because the more I get, the more I've got. The more I've got, the more you get. The more you get, the more you give. The more Shoreham, Lansing, Stelling, whatever. The more we change our society. You see, I want to be excited, not just for us. I was at a meeting of pastors the other day. And some of them in really horrible situations. Now, can I get excited that one day I'll take some of our people to their church and we'll just blitz them with the Holy Spirit? Anyone get excited about that? Or maybe we'll go to Stenning. Maybe, and we'll go into the church there on a Sunday and they'll try and do a traditional service and halfway through the Holy Spirit will just go boom Anyone get excited? You betcha. Yeah. But I've got to start by being hungry. I've got to be hungry, and I've got to go where the food is. And very quickly, I mustn't listen to what other people are saying. Listen to what God is saying. Because people will always try and control you. You shouldn't do that. You mustn't do that. You shouldn't do it this way. You should do it. Ah, flump. That's a new word, by the way. Sorry. That's our word for the year. Flump. Okay? I get tired of people saying, you should do it this way. You should do that. We don't do it the way God says. Because I find, if we're talking about healing just for a moment, forgive me, there's multiple ways God heals. I still wait for the day God tells me to do the mud bit, because I think that's going to be fun. You imagine it, right? A beautiful, beautifully made up lady comes into the church. Very elegant. Everything's just right. And they need healing. And I say, well, I'm sorry. God's told me. Go and wash your face. You'll be healed. Oh, can anyone else enjoy that? I'm hungry for more of God. Because I'm tired of living on starvation. Jesus says, don't condemn them. I am Lord of the Sabbath. It's my church. It's my day. I'll do it my way. Amen? That's what we're going to be doing. Pharisees, look out. People that want to judge and criticize, look out. There's only one judge and he sits on the throne up there. We can't judge one another. We can love one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, build one another. Let's leave judgment out there. And let's be a place where we don't judge, we don't criticize, we don't download guilt and shame. We love one another and grow one another and motivate one another to more exciting things. See, next week, John comes in. He says, do you know this week I healed someone? Sanjay's going to say, and he's going to get hungry, isn't he? Yeah? And so Sanjay goes out next week and he does something. And John says, let's encourage one another to do greater and greater works for his glory. Let's pray. Excuse me. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the next day they came back because they wanted more food. Lord Jesus, this morning we're hungry for more of your spiritual food. Lord, we recognize that you died for us. Lord, you gave your life for us, and when we come to know you as Lord and Saviour, we say, be Lord of every area of our lives. But Lord, so often that comes with judgments and things are put on us. This morning, Father, anything that's been put on us by Pharisees, by people, would you just cut it off in Jesus' name? Lies and criticism and judgments that have been spoken over us, just cut them off in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, would you come and just feed us? Because we're hungry. And Holy Spirit, teach us how to come more into the presence so we get more of you. Lord, sometimes we're tired of being around the edges. We want to come deeper into your presence because we want more of you. More to give away, more to feed the hungry, more to change our world. Father, here we are. Take and use each one of us for your glory. Amen. We're going to sing a song. Otherwise it'd just be a reading. We're going to sing a song, and I want you to make this your own prayer. It's an old, old, old song, about 3 million years old. And it says, search me, O God. Know my heart. It's very easy to think, so-and-so could do with this and so-and-so. No, search me, O God. And one of the lines used to say, "Send the revival, Lord. Start the work in me." So let's stand together and make this our prayer. And if you feel you need to be prayed for, what I've been talking about, and you want more of God, please come and stand at the front and one of the team will pray with you. But let's stand. Thank you, Graham. More of you. Make us always hungry for more of you. Father, may we be life changers in the world around us. Father, send the revival and start the work in us. Be with us, Lord, through this week, through the various activities. May we come together rejoicing at the things you've been doing. Be with us, Lord. Guard, guide, protect us until we can meet together again. Amen. Amen. Amen.
draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again. Oh, oh. To hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. Oh no, no. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.